Here we go. We are still in Sifud Beis. We're going to Mirtz Hashem, going to be starting Sifud Gimel. If you didn't start already, tonight. Right after Ma'ariv, again, or tomorrow night. First thing, we're going to be starting Sifud Gimel. We're in Sifud Beis. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Yekis. Yaki? We did a survey last week, so I have to make sure. So we have no Yekis here tonight, so we can say whatever we want. Yeah? So now, the Yekis, they go and they make Kiddush after they wash. Familiar? So where does this come from? Gemara, Rishonim, all the way down. We're not going to go through the whole Gemara right now. We're going to tell you what the Shulchan Aruch goes and says. I just want to clarify one point. We said it literally in 60 seconds at the end of last year. I just want to bring it out for a second. The Mechaber goes and paskins in Simen Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Yud Beis. The Mechaber goes and paskins that in regard to this machlekes, what is the proper course of action? Should you wash first, then make kiddush afterwards, after you wash, which is not going to be a hefsik, because it's letzor chasuda, just like pass me the salt, okay? And then, without talking, which is very hard to remember, without talking, you then go and yeki? Okay, great. And then, without talking, you then go right into netilas yadayim. Fine? Is that the proper way to do it? Who does that? That's Rabbeinu Tam. That's the Ramah. Ashkenazi. Everyone here Ashkenazi. That's the Ramah. The Ramah paskins like this Rabbeinu Tam that you should go and do like the Yekis. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch wasn't paskin the Sif Yud Beis. Reishai Nala Sif Yud Beis is right here. It's black and white. That no, you should make Kiddush first. Don't wash, make Kiddush first. And then afterwards, wash your hands and make hamotzi. Yes.
Oh, we saw the reason that the Ramah said that is because it was hard to find wine, right? It's hard to find wine in the place that they were at. And that's why maybe the minhag is that. And
fair.
It says you shouldn't switch back and forth.
Fair.
And therefore, you should do it one way.
Fair.
And that's why we do it the other way.
Yes. Yeah, that could be one shot. We're going to get to, again, what happened. How come our practical halacha doesn't follow the Ramah? It's not so common that we totally disregard a Ramah. Fine. So, comes along the Mechaber goes and tells you that you shouldn't do that. You should do like we do. So we're seemingly following the Mechaber. That, you should go and make Kiddush first, and then after you make Kiddush, then go and wash. Here's the catch. What about Bidiyevet? What does that mean? What's that case? The case is as follows. You were spacing out and you washed the yesterday. That's the easiest case. Or are you allowed to, let's say you have a pressing need, AKA or ETC or whatever, not ETC, IE, that you, let's say your sukkah is very far away from your home. This was a case that happened to me personally. It's a minute and a half, a full 90 seconds to walk to your sukkah. So what do you do now? If you're going to go and make Kiddush, and then walk back. So again, it's going to be the same tzurich, but it's avoidable. Yeah, you know, if you have 40 people by your meal, it takes 5 minutes to everyone to wash. It's a hefsik. Hefsik, some sheet that says 12 seconds. Yeah. Exactly. Love the reaction. 12 seconds. The answer is no, but if it's a tzorich, so then it's fine. Yeah, and that's going to be the practical halacha anyway. So yeah, here's a tzorich, but I have an alternative. I could be a yeki. I'll be a yeki for sukkahs. And I'll just wash. And then, what's the maila? What do I gain? Also, I gain bimakom suda. It's a more of a bimakom suda because I'm going to go right from my kiddush, right into makom suda, and not go on a hike back to my apartment a minute and a half away. So now, here's where we need to know what's the bidiyevet. Let's say I washed prior. If you wash prior, you're getting back into the Gemara's reasoning. What does that do? That shows you that you prefer, you have a chavivas for pas. Who cares? Once you have a chavivas for pas, some sheets are of the opinion that you no longer allowed to be mekadesh am yayin. You have, so to say, sold yourself out. You are now stuck with being mekadesh on pas. And you may not be mekadesh on wine. That's what the Mechaber holds. So according to the Mechaber, do like we do, lechatchila. Bidiyeved, if you washed first, game over. Make kiddush on bread. That's what the Mechaber, if you're Sephardi, that's what the Mechaber will tell you. The Ramah is going to tell you, be a Yeki. We don't do that. What's the Halacha L'maisa? Yeah? This is where it gets exciting. So now comes along the Taz. The Taz goes and paskins a middle ground. Fancy footwork. He pulls off the following middle ground, so to say, pshara. He wants to tell you that really we go like the Mechaber. And you should go and be Mekadesh on Yayin first, then wash afterwards. B'di'evet, in the event that you had to wash first, you're still allowed to go and be Mekadesh on Yayin. You can be rely on the Ramah B'di'evet. Yeah? Comes along the Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin says in Bir Agra as well as in Maaser Rav, right? Neither of them were written with it by his pen, if you want to go down that route. But, well, Bir Agra. Now they know. We can double check it. One of the Shklovers, the Mendel and Yisrael. Yeah, we'll double check it. Find out if he wrote it himself. I don't believe so. I'm sorry if I just.
What else was he looking for?
With his own pen? I'll double check. No. Don't take my word for it. Let's double check. Let's see if we have any makars either way. You have a makar? You have a makar saying this was penned by his hand?
The brevity of it also just really suggested.
It could have been from his mouth. The brevity of his speech was also known. It's not a riot. Okay. Here we go. So what does he write over here? He goes and he says in Maaser Rav. Lizoher in Kufchaf, Lizoher Ma'oid Biyayin Kiddush. Be very Zohir Biyayin Kiddush, to make Kiddush on wine. Umekadshin, Va'acharkach, Noitzlin Liadayim. Okay? Says the Bir Agra. Vihoiker Kedasa Shulchan Aruch. This is the Bir Agra in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph on the page in Shulchan Aruch. They quote it over here in the fancy Maaser Ravs. V'chein das hataz. That's not Shulchan Aruch. That's Das HaTaz. Das HaTaz doesn't mirror Shulchan Aruch. The Gra, and the Mishnah Berurah goes, famously writes in the, famously, it's not famous. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the beginning of Mishnah Berurah that the reason why he always quotes the Goyin, right, is because he was the Yosid HaGodol HaRoi LaHachriya. He was the, you know, the Yosid, what's it? Well, what's in English?
Peg,
thank you. The peg that lays it down and knows how to paskin between the shittas. So that's why he always quotes the Gra. He always quotes Shulchan Aruch Harav because he wanted to also garner the other chelik of Klal Yisrael. And the Vilna Goyin goes and says in Bir Agra, this is like quasi, we go like Shulchan Aruch. V'chein das hataz, like the Shulchan Aruch. But the Taz doesn't say that. What does the Gra actually mean? It means this middle ground. The middle ground of lechatchila, you should go like the Shulchan Aruch, but b'di'evet, you may go and make Kiddush on Yayin, even if you washed your hands first. And you want to know something? This whole thing that took us, what was it, 7 minutes? 6 minutes? The Mishnah Berurah spells out in four letters. Four words. The Mishnah Berurah in Shaar HaTzion addresses this entire thing. Right? Mishnah Berurah was written for the layman. That's what he claims. Even though it's very heavy. And now we need a concise version.
I said that the Gemara is like darkness. Like, and you search through the Rishonim and the Achronim. And then the Mishnah Berurah comes and it's like a light.
For sure. The problem is, from the Mishnah Berurah to practical halacha, it starts to get a little dark.
Yeah.
He is a lot of light, but
he
not always does it.
He does,
for sure. Yeah. The question is, but there's some scenarios where you're trying to glean from Mishnah Berurah that the Mishnah Berurah never spoke about. That's where it gets dark again. And you have to try to take, you know, just like extrapolate from Mishnah Berurah, just like you did from the Rishonim, and it gets a little more complicated. That's what I mean when it gets a little more dark. So the Mishnah Berurah goes and writes in Shaar HaTzion, which is him sourcing all of his conclusions. He goes and he writes over here in Sif Katan, Shaar HaTzion Sif Katan, Ayin I thought I had it. Siv Katan Samach Beis. Yeah? In Siv Katan Samach Beis, what is it going on? It's going on the Mishtabura, where the Mishtabura goes and writes, Ve'ein Lashanis. The Ramah tells you Ein Lashanis. We're Ashkenazim, we don't follow the Ramah. What happened over here? Says the Mishtabura, Ve'kam Achreinim Kosu, the Tfei Adav L'chalchil L'chal Shal Yayin, Choydim Tiyo Sadaim, Kudasim Mechaber. It's better to go like the Mechaber. Says the Sharetzin in the bottom, Hagra Bibi Uroi. The Gra says this. The King Kosav, Hamayim Mordechai, who is Sfardi. If you really know who every Mechaber is, he really covers his back. He does a very good job. He quotes Mate Moshe a lot, Talmud of the Marshal. He quotes the Graz, Chassidim. He quotes the Gra, Lita. He quotes the Maimer Mordechai, he was the counterpart of the Chida. He was Svardi. He really covered his back on many grounds. The Chen Kosav Maimer Mordechai, the Iker Kedasa Shulchan Aruch. The Chen Mitzadei Gamkein Hataz. The Iker Ha'inyin, B'tchilas Tvarov. Yeah? Ulazeh Ramaz Hagra, B'masha Kosav, the Chen Divrei Hataz. Says the Mishabura. And that's what the Gra meant when he referenced the Taz, and the Mishabura then spells it out for you. You're still allowed to be somech on the Ramah. So, you know, there's a famous story about the Chavetz Chaim, not verses, but in contrast to the Chaim Brisker. This is a yeshivish story if you ever heard of it. This is it. That, why is it, right? If you speak to the Soloveitchiks, any of them, and they tell you Eidos about Reb Chaim's home back in Brisk. It was a home, open door, Aniyim, stories about the Reb Velvel losing his bed to Aniyim, countless stories, and all the Soloveitchiks know them. And when you get to a Mishneh Berurah and the Sharetzion, you see the Mishneh Berurah's goyness, right? Yet, the Chaim Brisker is known as the goyin, and the Mishneh Berurah is known as the tzaddik, right? Tzaddikim don't really shine about their goyness, and the goyinim aren't really spoken about their tzitzis. Why is that? What happened? Right? You check with the average Beis Yaakov girl, for sure. Chavetz Chaim, Shmir Saloshim. Right? Chaim Brisker, if they know them, if they know him, he was a Lamdan. Yeah? He was a Lamdan. He knew how to Clara Chakira. What happened? The answer is that either both of them knew their Milos and Davin that it should be concealed. Yeah, Reb Chaim Brisker knew how big of a Baal Chesed he was. So he davened. His goyness, you have to write. The flip doesn't really work. His goyness, he didn't know about. Whereas the Chavetz Chaim knew that this work was such an unbelievable work. He davened. People shouldn't realize. And they say on the Chavetz Chaim, and he didn't even realize how big of a tzaddik he was. That's why he never started to conceal that. Okay, that was story time for the night. We're Yotze, and comes along the Mishabur. The Mishabur is telling you the Sol Shtickle. That we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch Mechanchila and the Ramah B'Dieved. A fascinating breed that's not so common. Okay, moving on. Now, what's the pshat in the Ramah? What is the pshat in the Ramah? The Ramah goes and tells you to do like the Ekis. So now, who cares, like we always ask, who cares what the pshat in the Ramah is? We go like the Mechaber. The answer is, for our Yekisha brethren, we need to know what's the pshat. And if we want to rely on this B'dieved, whatever the scenario might be, we need to know how this works. What's fueling the heter to allow you to be notal yadav before you're mekadesh? How does it work? Three different shatim.
Third reason, also, why don't we go like that?
Fair? So I guess we'll get to the reasons, and then we'll see. If you want to know why we don't go like him, the Rosh Shulchan, the beauty of the Rosh Shulchan, he says whatever's on his mind. Yeah, he doesn't hold anything back. So he says a very straightforward. I believe it's in Lamed Gimel, Reish Ayin Aleph, Lamed Gimel. He goes and he says, it's a hefsek. That's what the pshat in the Ramah is. We don't want to make a hefsek. Avo bizmanenu, says the Aruch HaShulchan. In our times, in the Vardik in 1905, yeah? In our times, v'kama doyru shekodim lanu, and many generations before us, lo yadu miminik zeh. We didn't know about it. No one knew about this minik. The tour in over here in Sifud Beis, he's like bewildered. How could the rush, you know, go like the Yekis? He actually was Yeki, right? He was from Ashkenaz. What? And he moved to Spain. He was Talmud of Ram Rutenberg. The Chol Gadol La'Apoyskim Lo Yiskimu Lozeh. Ayin Beisayisiv Ubach V'taz Shelo Yiskimu Lozeh. Yeah. Ube MS, he even takes it a step further. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Lama Naniach Shitas Rav HaPoyskim. Why would you leave Rav HaPoyskim? The Ramah is standing alone. Because they gave a special place to Rabbeinu Tam, which they were trying to, you know, Ashkenazi pride against the Beis Yosef, who didn't care for Tesis. The Ramah was trying to, in Halacha, he cared for Tosis very much. In Psak Halacha, he didn't care for Tosis. Okay, so, Aval Adur Sha'achar Avaychuy La'Halacha Kerev HaPoyskim. Now, if you want to make a case study, I would love if someone, you know, could put this together. How many times do you find the Aruch HaShulchan where he'll ditch the Ramah and say, and we don't care that he held otherwise. And other times he says, we can't go and negate a Ramah. Many, many times. I cannot tell you offhand where they are. For sure in Yerodeh, for sure many times in Aruch Chaim. He goes, he says, I disagree, but I won't disagree with the Ramah. He's only disagreeing here because so many people in generations before him also disagree with the Ramah. But it's a very interesting thing to know, when do we fold and bend the Ramah at all costs, and when do we say, he's a Nasi Achid, and we'll go with Rav Poiskim. Okay, food for thought.
I talk to you after.
Deal. Yes. So, now, what's the Pshat in the Ramah? Says the Ramah in Sif Yud Beis that we go and you should make the Tiel Sedayim first. One shot, the Mishaburo goes and says, he quotes, it's not just the Mishaburo. Those who preceded the Mishaburo also say similar. It's because of a scenario when you'll only have pas, or a scenario where you might be in that bind. So in the event you're going to be in that bind, we don't want to have to go and have different hanhogos and different course of actions based on the circumstance. So let's just keep it across the board. Says the Mishabura, that's the reason why the Ramah goes and tells you, so you should always do it like that. Again, the way that, it's funny, you pick up a lot of like a feeling about this. The Aruch HaShulchan says, that was the Ramah's minig, and some people just didn't have this minig. It doesn't sound like it's like a compelling sack from the sugya, it was like a minig. Okay, that's one pshat. The Eli Rabba goes another pshat and he says, also, they're searching, they're grappling for pshatim. The Eli Rabba goes and says, who's the Eli Rabba? He was the Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, the Chok Yaakov's brother-in-law. Did I help you? If it didn't, he wrote a pirush on the Levush. About him, Eli Rabba, Eli Yisuta, his name was Shapiro, and he lived in the 1600s, the late 1600s. A friend, 20 years younger, of the Magen Avraham. We're going to get there Sunday night. Sunday nights, we should be there in probably 2 months. So, moving on, says the Eli Rabba, another shot, because maybe your hands are not clean. You have to have your daim nikios. So, your hands are not going to be clean, so you have to wash them anyway. Being that you're going to have to wash them in the event that your hands are not clean, that's how the minig came to be, to just wash your hands first. As a safeguard to ensure your hands are always going to be clean. Okay, so, you know, we always have the shayla in everything. Do we have the same dirty hands that they had then, right? Our shkia is not the same shkia anymore. Our eggs are a different size, and our hands are much cleaner. There's all these things that in halacha, the metzius has changed. So now, do we assume our hands are as dirty? Or, you know, we can wash our hands, we can have, you know, das over our hands, somewhat. that's Eli Rabbah's pshat. Tosefes Shabbos says a third pshat that Netilas Yadayim prior to Kiddush proves and shows, again, it's a simen. It's not a cause, it's a simen. It's not a siva, it's a simen. It's a simen that it's b'makom suda, Kiddush b'makom suda, which we're going to get to. We want it to be b'makom suda. Therefore, we go and we wash first to show this Kiddush is b'makom suda. We washed. We're literally going right into the meal. We're going to do amotzi right afterwards. That's b'makom suda. That's the reason why we go and we wash prior, according to the Ramah, that we are allowed to rely on b'diyah. Last point I want to make. If anyone remembers back in Sif Yud, whether or not you should stand or sit, there was another Ramah that a certain sect of Klal Yisrael disregarded. The Ramah tells you, and many people here may also, the Ramah tells you you should sit for Kiddush. Many people stand. I myself stand. That's the minig, and the Magen Avraham tells you don't change your minig. Whatever your minig is, just keep it. So now, what happened? Why did we chuck another Ramah? We follow the Ramah. We're Ashkenazim. So the Divrei Yatziv and many others quoted the Arizal, Kabbalah. But the Divrei Yatziv gave a nice chap, you know, a cute explanation. He says it's based on the Ramah and Sifud base. Now we can appreciate what he actually was saying, what he was coming to prove. What's his proof? The Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, goes and he was a tremendous, tremendous goyim. He goes and he writes over here in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Chaf Dalit, Divrei Yatziv. It was in the booklet on Sif Yud. He goes and he writes, the reason why we stand is because the Ramah who says you should sit was going to Shitaso. Here we go. How? The Ramah was of the opinion that you should really go and wash prior, because it has to be b'makom suda. That's the reason. He obviously was learning like the Tosefes Shabbos as to why the Ramah was of the opinion that you should go and wash prior like the Yekis. That's the reason, that's the tam. Therefore, we who in Sif Yud Beis disregard the Ramah no longer have to reckon with the b'makom suda. Therefore, when we then turn back to Sif Yud, why are we saying, right, this was his chaf, why are we telling you that you should go and sit down when you make Kiddush? It should be b'makom suda. So the Ramah only said that in Sif Yud because he held in Sif Yud Beis that, you know, b'makom suda holds this, like, extra weight. Whereas, again? Yeah, okay, so you know when you ask these type of questions, you're just supposed to read what the Divrei Yatziv says. And with that, I'll leave you. In the last 30 seconds we have, he goes and he's not even. So he goes and he says, who will I F Shalomar? Where is it? Here we go. Yishlom Sharama Azil Lafimash Kasim Sif Yud Beis. Shilchachila Yitid Yadav Kedem HaKiddush Aval Anu Shinogim Kadeh Is Lita Yadav Achar Kiddush Him Kame Belav Hachilo Hava Suda Miyad Achar Kiddush. Either way, your Suda is not going to be immediately after Kiddush. Therefore, if we, so to say, disregard the Ramah and Sif Yud Beis, that's why you therefore are allowed to go and stand. Now, we have covered Sif Yud Beis. Check out the Riyatsev. It's actually Kuf Chav Hei. And Mirtz Hashem, next week we're going to be going into Yud Gimel Yud Aleph full force ahead, Mole Lugmav, and everyone tasting from the Kiddush. Shkoyach.